Good evening and welcome to the Cabazon Water District regular board meeting for Tuesday, February 18th, 2025 at 6 p.m. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moment of silence. Remembrance from our men and women. Okay, thank you.
Director Guillermo Perez.
Here.
Director Melissa Carlin.
Here.
Director Alan Davis.
Here.
Board Vice Chair Kathy Brock.
Here.
Board Chair Terry Tincher.
Here.
General Manager Michael Pollack.
Here.
Okay. Need an approval for the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of January 21st, 2025.
Meeting minutes and warrants of January 21st, 2025 and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of January 21st, 2025.
All right, motion to approve consent calendar items A and B made by Director Carlin and second by Director Davis. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Brock?
Aye.
And Board Chair
Tincher? Aye. Okay, new business. Discussion action item Resolution 2025-01, change of authorizing officer on CWD Chase credit card account. Currently, former board chair Sarah Wargoats on tab one. Uh-huh.
I left the who it would be assigned to as blank. I think it's usually either the finance and audit, someone on the finance and audit committee, or the board chair. And last time Sarah was both, and this time I'll let you guys decide.
That's fine. I can do it if you want. We have to have a motion.
Make a motion to accept resolution 2025-01. Change the authorizing officer.
I second.
Well, you have to.
Pardon? Can we do the whole thing?
You have to put a name to it.
Oh. Or, I'm sorry. Or Terry Tincher?
Did I say that?
You did.
And I think Melissa said it first.
Did she beat him to it?
Or she seconded it first.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a motion to accept resolution 2025-01, change of authorizing officer on CWD Chase credit card account, and that's to remove Sarah Wargo and add Terry Tincher as authorizing agent.
You're right.
Made by Director Davis, second by Director Carlin. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin? Director Davis.
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Brock.
Aye. And Board Chair Tincher.
Aye.
And you're being kind
of. What's that?
The next one's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah. Discussion action item for resolution 2025-02, removal and revision of authorized signer. And that's under tab two.
Actually, I don't think there's anyone to remove on here because Sarah wasn't a signer on the bank account. But this would be to add Gil as a signer.
She wasn't a signer.
Were you?
Yeah. She signed the checks.
Oh, yeah, duh. Wait. Sarah Wargo. Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm so used to you doing it for the past couple months. Okay.
Yeah.
Quickly? It's a weird couple months. Okay. So yeah, it would be to remove her and add Gil.
Okay, so we have to remove Sarah and add Gil.
I don't know what was on my mind.
We removed it there already.
We have to do it on the check signing.
That was for the credit card. This is for the bank, like check signers.
This is a separate one.
Okay.
So we need a motion on this one now.
On this next one right here, is OCU that we're on?
Yes.
I make a motion to accept the resolution 202502, move a revision of authorized signer. And we're going to put in. Gerald Perez? Isn't that right?
He gets included in the bank account.
And take Sarah off? Sorry.
I mean, it was kind of personal.
And not at all. Somebody second it?
I'll second it. Take Sarah off and add Gail.
So it's motion to accept
Resolution 2025-02 to remove Sarah Wargo from as an authorized signer and to add Guillermo Perez as an authorized signer on the bank account. Made by Director Davis, second by Board Vice Chair Bronk. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Bronk?
Aye. And Board Chair Ditcher?
Aye.
I have a question, Evelyn.
What?
Am I on any of that kind of junk?
No. You were for some reason for a while, but yeah. We took you off. I don't know why you were on the bank account.
I was on before. Yeah.
But I think you brought it up.
Before you came.
Yeah, a long time ago. But you're not on it anymore.
Okay, let's go to old business. Discussion updates with SGPWA directors regarding various matters.
I got my swag in finally.
Yeah.
So we're moving forward with the Hella Hydrants. That's already, right? That's coming up here soon. The only other thing that I have for Cabazon is we did pass a resolution. I know President Trump came in, had his executive order that said he wanted to get bring water from the north down to the south. He put out an executive order, and then when we were going to vote on it, the same day Gavin Newsom put one out that said, so we just put out a resolution that said we support both the president and the governor's idea to get water down to the south. So that one, when both of them put it on there, I was like, oh, now it's not partisan, right? Yeah, so. But getting water down here, other than that, we've been doing, I know I'm going to Cabazon School soon to do like a water training thing with the kids to teach them about that, so that's kind of fun. And other than that, I'm still learning, trying to learn as quick as possible and get to as many meetings as possible. There's a lot of meetings. Any questions?
You having fun yet?
I am having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you explain the hydrological cycle to them?
No. Well, to the kids, yeah. That's what we're doing. They teach the kids with they have fun PowerPoints and they're teaching them. So I'm like, yay. They're doing it at some of the high schools, and I'm like, ooh, that's a little intimidating, but I like the littles. The littles is fun, so.
That was judgmental.
Yeah. But it's going, learning a lot. I know we'll be doing an urban water thing, and then there is a Women in Water for Aqua that's coming up soon. So that'll be next month. This board hasn't got to go to any of those in a while, so that'll be fun.
You got a budget committee meeting tomorrow?
Yes, there's a budget committee meeting tomorrow. And I'm not on that board, but I did get to be chair of conservation education. So that's still learning.
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay. Item 2 is community involvement.
There is no current in participation. They don't have any events. I imagine about something for Easter that will come up that we'll contribute to, but we haven't had any flyers yet.
Okay, updates. Cabazon Water District Operations Manager, Michael.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone wants to know about the Hell Hydrants. What's going on with the Hell Hydrants? So,
Basically, the timeline, the construction began on January 28, 2025. The excavation was completed, and the hot tap was completed at Tank 1 on February 5th. Excavation started at Tank 3 up there at the end of Elm on January 29th. It's halfway done, so from the inside of the property to the fence line, that's all dug, and the hot tap's completed, the pipe is laid, so now he has to complete the pipeline from the fence line to the tank. Yes.
Are they going to redo the fence out around this thing?
That's not in the current scope.
Okay, so this is going to be exposed to vandals and...
Well, you have the fire fence down there at the end of Elm Road that leads up to the dirt road that's supposed to be private going to our tank site, but, you know, there's a lot of hikers that use that road, and so there isn't a whole lot of equipment for them to vandalize other than graffiti the tank, you know, so hopefully they'll appreciate what service is going to provide and...
There is no
plans in the making. Maybe future considerations once things do happen, then we'll probably have to install a fence.
Yeah, heck, they graffitied the flooded signs.
Yeah. As soon as they put them up.
I was like, in there for like 10 hours.
Yeah, and they got the bridge again. They'll get it.
Yeah. So,
all right.
So the tank lead times, once they complete the ditch laying the pipe, then they order the tank. That's usually like a 4-week lead time. So in the meantime, they can install all of their SCADA equipment, their panel with the solar and the battery rechargers and everything like that. So he'll be here tomorrow. So we'll continue on with the installation of tank 3. But everything else is just waiting for the other equipment to show up. And then well 5, the rehabilitation of well 5 has been completed. We went through several steps on that. Basically, when they pulled the equipment because it was not operating properly, and then they did a video log, and then they brushed and baled it. They weren't happy with the results on the brush and bale because the perps were not showing enough light to let the water through, so they use this new technology. It's called an arc wave, and basically it's a cable that goes down, has an electronic device that it's like a spark plug, and it energizes. There's an energizer, and every time it reaches 100%, which usually is like under 10 seconds, it'll send out a concussion, electrical concussion, and that's supposed to knock the debris from the casing. So it goes down, and they ran it up several times. I mean, they were there for like 6 hours. So they probably did like 5 or 6 runs of this concussion. So it's similar to if you were to use, let's say, a wheelbarrow and you mix some mud in there and you rinsed it and everything like that. Well, not everything comes off. So you may take a steel wire brush to try and get the concrete off. It doesn't do it as well. But if you take a hammer and bang it, all those chips come off. So that's kind of what this is, only it's a little bit, you know, technology based, basically that electrical device like a spark plug, just boom, and it'll drop another 10 feet and boom, and he'll go up and down a couple of times. So that's the technology that they used on that. So that was $12,000. So it did what it's supposed to do. We did lower the bowl assembly down another 40 feet, and when this arc wave technology worked, it created more water to come into the casing, which increase the static water level. Because we had a 200 horsepower motor on top of that, there was some, the calculations were not 100% accurate, so when we went to run the well, it kept blowing the fuses. So they had to figure out what they needed to do. Was there an adjustment that they needed to make? It's like, no. The calculation for the bowl assembly in the water was miscalculated. So now we have to take off the 200 horsepower motor, rebuild a 250 horsepower motor, and put that on. And of course, when you do that, now you need to put new electrical components in the panel, so you need to put a new soft start to accommodate the higher horsepower. But because it was based on their calculations, that portion is at no cost to the Cabazon Water District. And as I mentioned earlier, the new soft start is $15,000. not to mention what it costs to rebuild a motor, basically rewinding a large 250 horsepower motor, rewinding it, baking and dipping it. So I know that's a terminology, so I'll kind of explain what that is. So the rewinding is just the insulation, add insulation to the stator slots, because it's like there's grooves in there to eliminate the heat from building up. And then create new coils to insert them into the stator slots and secure the coils with wedges. This is the rewinding process. And then when you bake and dip, it's preheating the windings to remove any moisture. And the dipping is dipping the stator in varnish to coat the windings and improve the insulation. So it's just part of an industry standard and what they do when they rebuild motors. So that's all coming together. Like I said, at no cost. And then what happens is, because we do well efficiency testing every 2 years on all the wells, basically well 2 has been tested, well 1's been tested, well 5 is scheduled to be tested after we put it back on the ground. So when your overall plant efficiency is 72%, well 1 is 70%, well 5 was at 63%. So when you get up into the 70% range, the overall efficiency of 70%, you reduce your cost. Your plant is more efficient. You reduce your cost with Edison. So if we improve the efficiency from 63% to over 70%, you'll save, on this last report, was $2,992 annually on Edison. So we're going to save money by being more efficient. So that's the update on well 5. And then, of course, because of the power safety shutoffs from Edison, we need backup generation, because tank 1 and tank 3 are filled with well 1, and we don't have any backup generation. So if they start drawing water from our reservoirs, there's no way to fill that up if we don't have any Edison. So one of the things is that I got a quote for a portable generator to be installed at well 1, and that came in at $287,168. That's for a 375 kW. So to follow up with that, we did have a meeting that was attended on January 29th with members of the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency, upper management of the Riverside County Fire Department, CAL FIRE, general managers of the local water agencies, and Juan Perez, the chief operating officer that provides operational support for the County of Riverside. And subjects covered in this discussion was, the first item was to have a ribbon cutting ceremony for the dedication of helihydrants, remembering the fallen firefighters, I believe, when the two helicopters collided over Bonita and Apache Trail. So that's going to be the one dedication, let's say, for tank 1. The other one was the fallen firefighters from the Esperanza fire. So that will be a ribbon cutting ceremony. I think it's proposed for April 17th. And then another item that was discussed was preparing to overcome the challenges of water districts during the Edison PS events. So what they talked about was all the water districts in the county would need generators. So they were talking about maybe Riverside County would purchase a group of generators, and we would just send them a request that we would need them during the event. But that's really not doable, because every well site has its own well, whether it's 100 horsepower, 150, 300 horsepower, so you need specific generators to run each site. So that's why I got the quote. So if they give grant funding for each water district to provide for one, that's, so we're kind of prepared. We're going to do that as a group effort. So that's something we're working on with Juan Perez to maintain operations. And of course, the importance of helihydrants is there really is no alternative. I mean, someone talked about those rain for rent tanks that you could hook up to a hydrant, but then you have to have a staff standby. The helicopter doesn't know where it's at. So the heli hydrants are GPS, and they're already assigned, so they have the cell internet operator remote control to fill when they're approaching and everything like that. So using technology for proper firefighting is the way to go right now. So it's really going to help put out the fires quicker. And one of the other things we talked about, because of all the incidents that happened down in Pacific Palisades and Altadena, fire hydrants, you know, it's like, I mean, small water districts are probably the best at maintaining fire hydrants, but large districts, I don't know why it gets overlooked. So that's one of the things I'm sure that's going to be coming around, is they're going to want to see documentation that, you know, our hydrants are maintained and checked regularly, which ours are here. So. And the other thing, too, is when you run a generator, because of air quality management, you're only allowed to run the generators for up to 200 hours per year. So if we're having all these outages and we have to run these for lengthy run times, something needs to be done to give us exemptions for additional run times. Otherwise, you got to pay fines. So that's something they're going to be working on as well. And that's pretty much on the meeting with the heli hydrants and with Juan Perez. So hopefully everything will move forward, help maintain our operations with generators. To, like I said, if we have a power outage and we don't have any wells run and we have a fire, they're going to have limited resources. So we need to provide that.
How do we go about it?
Well, we're doing our steps. I mean, basically, I gave them the size and type. You have to give specific information for, I got a quote from Quinn Cat for the generator. So now, whenever they decide to get together, then give a grant funding and we'll make a purchase.
Okay, yeah. Grant funding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last item that I have is, on February 6th, we had a brief meeting with TAM of Arrowhead Bottling requesting the service reconnection to the Cabazon Water District. They are currently being served by the Morongo Band of Mission Indians and the well just north of Adel on Elm Street. So he asked what our fees were, and mentioned what his possible usage would be, so he needs to talk to his board, and then he'll come back, and then we'll put something together for him. But basically, the service charge would be similar to what the DHPO is, the Cabazon outlet. And the usage would be similar, too. So basically, if he used 100,000 gallons per day, that's $21,500 a month per usage, with the service connection is $6,500. But the other thing too is, because that his meter box is just west of the Red House, right before our main ends, and then he has his service that goes to the Arrowhead Bottling Plant along Bonita. So there's been a lot of construction along Bonita, and our staff has experienced them cutting through that line. So that line needs to be replaced. So I made the recommendation for the future is to move that meter box in front of their building, help install a new main line. Basically, they're going to have to run their service line. We'll upgrade it to a main line that can provide service, let's say 8-inch line or 12-inch line. Help pay for that, and whatever we decide to contribute, not 100% of it, obviously, and then whatever we decide, then we can give them probably a reduced cost for any outstanding balance that we feel that we can contribute to the new main. So it's 3,400 feet of main. And that's not, so right now it just goes down Bonita, but we want to go Bonita and then down to the entrance. So it's 3,000 feet and then 400 feet. We'll talk about that. So he needs to talk to his board, and then we'll bring back and have a discussion.
That's
Great idea.
Moving forward.
That gives us main line down Bonita and Elm.
Right.
So that's we've been having discussions about that. So that is pretty much all I have.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to bring it up now?
Okay, I can bring it up now. So there's a couple of cost-cutting measures, not that we're going to vote on it or anything, but we currently have a financial service that we're happy with, but they're geared more towards larger water companies. So we currently pay $4,192 a month for their service. We were contacted by another firm who used to work for our current firm that would like to be our financial advisor at $2,900 a month. And he even worked for the agency when they were managing our finances. So I believe it would be a good move in the future. I would continue on until we're done with our budget year and our audit and everything like that. And then as a group, we can decide if we want to move with a different vendor. I think it would be a safe move.
Something to think about.
Yeah, something to think about. And then the last item is
the crew would like to pass an idea about our current truck.
We currently have a vehicle that is new. It's dual cab, but it's not being fully utilized. So they thought if we downsized that one, so currently I think we paid the 2022 Ford F-250. We paid $75,000 for it. We currently own $36,000 on it. So there should be equity in that if we want to go down this path. So if we got the equity, got a truck at a lesser amount, because it's a dual cab. I mean, it's not utilized, basically. They all have their own vehicles. So there is, for instance, there is a vehicle, what year is this one here? I think it's a 2015 single cab, utility bed, 60,000 miles for $19,000. So use the equity, put it aside, and they want to, in the future, get the truck that's going to be parked in the new warehouse and, you know, have it equipped, not store it here where you could have your generators, your ditch pumps, and everything like that. Because currently that dual cab is parked in the back. The toolboxes are left open. There's no tools in there. There's no parts because of break-ins. So if we're going to move in that direction, get rid of the truck because it has equity in it, and then buy a lesser truck that's more cost-effective, and then use whatever money that we're saving per month to buy a truck later on down the road that's going to be stored in the warehouse. That's kind of like your crew truck that's just fully equipped with your saws and everything like that, so you don't have to load everything up. So something to think about in the future. So because the growth is coming this way and you would need something that just has everything on it, you just go to the warehouse, get this truck, and then you're good to go. So
makes more sense.
Yes. So. And to give you an update on the building, well, so we were in the process of getting the building permits. We got the plans, and then we needed the plans signed by the building, who's going to provide the builder, the building. Well, they got bought up by someone else. So we're in the process of changing names, so they can't complete the form until the transition is completed, because they got to put the contractors number on the form so we can go to Riverside County and say, okay, now we need a building permit. So that's on, so it's a little glitch in the building right now. But we do have three quotes for concrete. So the concrete's going to be $49,000. We still owe $36,000 for the building. And other than that, everything's ready to go.
Right.
A little frustrating on the building. They were all chomping at the bit to get that
get that put up.
Hurry up and wait.
Huh? Yeah?
All right. Do we have any public comment? Okay. General manager or board comments? Miscellaneous future board items, next board meeting dates.
How about future agenda items? I got an agenda item.
What you got?
I just want to know. Well, I want to find out if we can afford a raise. The board members, $50 at the most raise, you know. I don't know if you don't feed the board, if you can afford it or what, you know. I don't know.
I think the board can approve that.
I haven't seen a raise here in
the whole time I was on there.
No. I mean, it's been a good 10 years.
Yeah. That's a good one.
About the next meeting.
Okay,
put it on the agenda. If not, that's fine, I don't care.
Make it an agenda item. Anything else?
You know, we're in the process of preparing for the new rate study, so a lot of it has to do with budget items, so got you included in there too.
Okay. Well, the future board item meeting, the next board meeting dates and all that stuff's on here. You guys go ahead and read that yourselves. No. Can I get a motion to adjourn this?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion to adjourn at 6:31, moved by Director Perez and second by Director Davis. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Rock?
Aye.
And Board Chair Teacher?
Aye.